Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
How many of you have been enjoying the Covenant God, Covenant People series that we've been going through? Where it didn't end last week. It's carrying on. Why is it carrying on? Because you are a covenant person. I am a covenant person. Therefore, we are a covenant people. So we want to be the covenant people that God has called us to be. But we're going to carry on. I listened to Pastor Colin's message the other day. How many of you here last week? Yep. That was weighty, wasn't it? Yep. It was kind of gentle but powerful. And hopefully your response has been really wholehearted with God, either on the day last week, or you've definitely been sorting anything out that you've needed to in terms of forgiveness towards anybody else. And I was listening to it, and it was quite a few messages, and you kind of finish it, and it was great, it was a good message. But it was one of those that you're sitting there listening, and as you're listening, you're responding. As you're listening, you're repenting. As you're listening, you're getting things right with God. It wasn't one of those messages where you wait till the end, you know, to start actually responding to the Lord. But when it did get to the end, you know, there were various things for me, you know, that God sort of highlighted where I had attitudes towards people, or I hadn't really worked through something in a way that I thought I had. And the importance of forgiving others and being right with God in the way that we are with others. Hopefully you saw the importance of that in the life of the body. And that's what I want to continue on with this morning, is in a different way than that. But just look at some scriptures in relation to how your life and my life affects either positively or negatively the life of the body. Probably like you, one of the things that has, I think, been brought home more than ever in these last couple of months is how God has not just saved us into himself as individuals, and that we're all individuals kind of trying to, you know, grow in the things of God and follow God's plan for our lives. But actually, God has saved us and brought us into a family. He's brought us into a body. He's brought us to be part of a building. We're part of a flock. We're part of the bride of Christ. God has saved us into being part of who he is together. And the importance or the impact that then that our lives have on one another is something we're just going to continue to look at this morning. And so we're going to continue the covenant God, covenant people kind of theme. For me, it's the theme for the whole of the autumn. It's not just for 7 weeks when we've looked at the 7 different aspects of covenant, but it covers the whole of the autumn and how we're going to move into next year and why God has been doing what he has been doing. Again, like many of you, I think you probably find God has been exposing roots in people's lives, uncovering things that are not rooted in him, but are roots that have been rooted in something else. And God has been uncovering things and uprooting things and dealing with things. It's been a deep work that God has been doing in each one of our lives, some of it challenging. But as we've been looking at the Word challenges our lives as well as encourages. It also challenges where our lives are not lined up with the Word. And as we respond to the Word, then things happen in us that then line us up with him and with one another. So we're going to look at a number of things this morning, and we're going to use a bit of an illustration in a moment to kind of help us with that. But today's message, really, if you want a title for it, is Your Life Matters. Or another word for that is you are significant. Now, I'm not talking about your old life, the self life. I'm talking about who you are in Christ, in the life of the church, in the body, in the family of believers. It's who you are that is, it matters who you are and how you live in the life of the body, and the impact that then that has on everybody else. Let's just have a quick look, first of all, in Joshua chapter 7. If you want to turn there for a minute. Very powerful story here of where the Israelites had just had a great victory in Jericho and seeing the walls come down. They had a plan from God, instructions from God. And the instructions were to every person. It wasn't just to a few people. It wasn't just to the priests. It wasn't just to the army. It wasn't just to the men or to the women or to the children. The instructions that were given were for every person to be part of and to obey. And they followed God's plan. And as we know in the story, they walked around the city and ultimately did what God said, and the walls came down. In their victory, in their excitement, in their celebration, the next city that was to be taken was Ai, and it was a much smaller city. And the men said, "Why don't we only need to send a few? Everybody doesn't need to go to sort that one out. Just a few need to go." And so some of the army went, and if you know the story, they got chased away by the men of Ai, and the Israelites were defeated, and they were a bit upset. And Joshua got before God, and he was a bit upset, you know, and God said, "What are you doing down there? What are you doing on the floor? Get up." And he said, "There's sin in the camp." And in the beginning of chapter 7, it says, "The Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things." Now, look what it says. It says, "The Israelites." It doesn't just say one person. It says, "The Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things." And then it says what happened. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things. So the Lord's anger burned against the whole nation. Wow. Now, in our new covenant, or in our New Testament kind of thinking and understanding, or our modern, let's put it this way, in our modern kind of approach to Christianity and all of that, we say, well, God doesn't deal with us like that anymore. That was Old Testament, in the sense that one person's sin, but he looked at the whole nation. And I think if we look at the church in that way and say, well, that's something that God used to work like that, but now because of grace, it's a bit different. We've got a bit more leeway. We've got a bit more room to move. There's not so much, you know, attention on that kind of thing. And you know, we're not all perfect anyway. So I'm sure God is very merciful and gracious, and he gives us a bit of latitude, and one day we'll get it right. Well, how many of you know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen. And in the same way that he wanted to deal with the disobedience there, is the same way in which he wants to deal with stuff now in our lives. Not because he wants to just deal with us. It's because he had a plan, he had a purpose, and he wanted the Israelites to move forward in that plan and purpose. And in one sense, what it shows us is how serious God takes sin, how serious God takes disobedience. And in this story, because they'd sinned, they didn't get a plan from God. They didn't hear what God wanted to do. And in their own efforts, in their own excitement, in their own victory, they said, "Well, we can handle the next thing. We can handle Ai. That's only a little thing." We needed God for Jericho because it was a fortified city. It was a marker point. There's no way we're going to get that one. But we've had a great victory, so we can deal with Ai ourselves. And they got chased away. So God dealt with the sin in the camp. Once the sin had been dealt with, then they heard from God, they moved forward, they got the victory, and they took Ai. Now, if we sort of bring that into our modern sort of kind of moment now, where we're alive, 2011, if we have the kind of thinking in the church that, well, my life doesn't actually matter that much, or I'm not that important, actually, well, you know, if I'm only going at sort of, you know, third gear, fourth gear, that's not really going to affect anything because there's a few others going in top gear. Or I'm not really, you know, I'm only a little part of the body. I'm not that significant. And if we see ourselves, if we look at ourselves in that way, I'll say my life doesn't really matter because it doesn't really hinder the things of God, then our perspective on things is very different than God's perspective. Imagine what this church would be like if everybody was, well, my life doesn't really matter. Actually, you know, where I'm at with God, well, you know, I can dabble in this and mess about with that. And, well, you know, if we all had that attitude, where would the church be? But if we had the attitude of, actually, I want to live clean, I want to live healthy, I want my life, I understand that my life as part of this thing counts and it matters, I'm a significant part of the body. If we all understood that if we live clean and live healthy, that how that impacts the life of the church, what would the church be then? How would it be effective? How would it be fruitful? What would the dynamic of life be if we all understood, actually, my life matters in terms of who I am in God, in the life of the church, and the part that I play and the member that I am in the body and what that means? And so we saw last week and we understood the power of unforgiveness, but we also heard about the power of forgiveness and the difference that makes. And today what we want to look at is really the power of living clean as part of the body. Now, if I could just have 20 people just to rush to the front, that would be really helpful. 20 people, just run to the front. On your marks, get set. That's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Can you just stand in a row and face everybody? That'd be brilliant. Anybody else? 20 people, come on. 20 people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 5 more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Brilliant. Thanks. Great. Okay. Now, we can either see ourselves as we've been saved as individuals and therefore we have an individual relationship with God, and it's great to have brothers and sisters in Christ and they're friends and we're in life groups or we're working out the vision, but, you know, there's me and there's my relationship with God, okay? But also, if we see ourselves like that, then we'll see ourselves as not connected or not interrelated or not dependent or not being built into. But the word here talks about a number of different things. If we understand as a church that we're a lot of things, but there's three things in particular, okay? Firstly, we're a building, that your life is a building. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about our lives being built together like a spiritual house that is carrying the presence of God. And if something's being built together, the stones, they're living stones, they're butted together. They're that close, you can't separate them. So if you guys want to just crunch in a bit, be shoulder to shoulder initially, okay? So we're being built together, but if these guys are like living stones, they're not just being built straight on one another, they're interlocked and interrelated. So can you guys just now lock arms? Kind of put your arms through each other, okay? So they're now not just 20 individual believers, they're now a building together. They're now becoming a body of people, a body that are members, they're alive, they're different parts, like it talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, there it talks about being parts of the body, members of the body. And Paul says, you know, the eye can't do without the ear can't do without the hand, and so on. And because we are different members, but we're interrelated. We're members of a body, okay? If you were to separate arms right now, just separate your arms for a minute. And if I said, you know, Jem was an ear and Liz was a hand, but they weren't connected, in the natural, you'd say, well, it's not going to work. But so often in the life of the body, we stand there and think, well, I'm a hand and she's an eye. But actually, it doesn't really matter if my hand's over here doing this because I don't particularly feel I'm that significant or I've really got that much value. And the eye is much better because it sees everything and it keeps an eye on everything. But for me, I'm an elbow or I'm a, not an armpit, but, you know, yeah. It's something that we don't have any smelly parts of the body, do we? Although, we don't keep ourselves clean, things begin to smell, don't they? But if we understand that we're connected and interrelated, just lock arms again, that we're all members, that actually, again, in Corinthians there, it talks about that there is every person is important, every person is significant in the life of the body. So we're a building, we're a body, but we're also a family. If we're a family, there's relationship. In a family, there is what connects a family? It's the blood. So because in a family you come from the same bloodline, you are connected to the other person because of the blood. When we get saved, we get adopted into the family of God. And it's the blood of Jesus that is part of that adoption that enables us to be adopted into his family. So we're again interrelated, interconnected in terms of who we are. So when God looks at our lives, he doesn't just see our life as an individual life. He looks at your life and my life as we are saved. It's, you know, I am a new creation. It's not just we are a new, but I am a new creation. So there is a personal relationship with God. But part of that personal relationship with God is how that's being expressed as a member of the body or part of the building or part of this family. That you're not isolated. You're not an individual in terms of, I'll do my own thing any longer. Everything you do has an impact on the others that you are interrelated to and connected to. So if Jen, for example, just picking on you, Jen, because I'm standing behind you and you can't see. If Jen decides one day, I'm just struggling with stuff. I'm not really... You know, I don't think I'm that important. I don't think my life really matters much in the life of the church. So, you know, she begins to get into just hanging out with people and getting into doing some stuff and everything. What she begins to do is she begins to break off that connection and dependence with others, right? She's still in the body, but she's begun to separate herself from the interdependence, the interconnections, the relationships, and she's begun to get some hooks in her life that are just beginning to reel her in and pull her back, pull her away from being in the body and the effectiveness of who she is as part of the body. What begins to happen then is gaps then begin to appear in the life of the body. And then the enemy has an opportunity to begin to not just affect one person's life, but to begin to affect Lizzie's life now, because actually it's like, well, hang on, Jen's kind of disconnected herself a bit. She's begun to get into some other stuff. And I feel, hang on a minute, there's something not quite right, because there's a vulnerability now in the body because somebody's stepped out of where they're called to be, where God has set them in the body. And others begin to then feel the impact. And instead of there being a strength and a kind of resistance to the enemy in terms of what God wants to do, then things can begin to move around and wave around because some of the connections have gone and the enemy's got an openness to come in.
That's right.
Just connect back in for a minute. In the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah hears that the walls of Jerusalem have been broken down. The city has been destroyed. And his response is to get before God, and he begins to pray and fast. And God puts something in his heart and to go and rebuild, repair the city walls. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10, some of the guys that began to come against them in opposition began to get annoyed because there was a phrase that they said they were annoyed because somebody had come for the welfare of the people.
That's right.
And so Nehemiah had something in his heart. He had a vision. He went and checked the walls. But he knew he couldn't fulfill this vision on his own. And so he gathered the people together. He communicated what was on his heart, what he wanted to see happen and what God wanted to see happen. And as a result of that, he mobilized the others and they began to work together on the city walls. Okay? So initially they were a bunch of individuals. As he began to cast the vision, as he began to speak, you know, the word of the Lord, they began to unite together. And it's interesting, there were nobles, there were officials, there were goldsmiths, there were perfume makers. There were all kinds of people with all kinds of jobs and that in life that came together for a task that was bigger than their job, bigger than their role, bigger than their position, if you like. And they came together for something bigger than that. So somebody was a goldsmith, somebody was a perfume maker, somebody else was a noble or an official or a leader in the community. But that came second, in one sense, to the bigger purpose of joining together to fulfill a mandate that God was giving to them as a people. And they realized that my part in this is as an official or as a goldsmith or as a perfume maker. That's what I do, and I want to do that to the best of my ability. I want to reach people through that. But I'm connected to others, no matter what their role is, job is, or function. I'm connected to something bigger than that, which is to see God's purposes outworked together, to see a city transformed, ultimately a nation turned around. Now, if you look at that story, the further they went in building the walls, the more opposition that they got. And there was constant attack on the leader, but there was also constant attack on the people. The guys who were coming against them were sending other numbers of people around to try and taunt the people as they were rebuilding the walls. And at different moments, Nehemiah had to gather the people together, say, right, we need to meet. We need to remind everybody, this is who we are. This is what we're about. This is the mandate that we have. This is what we're doing. This is to serve God. This is to glorify God. This is our mission now, to rebuild the walls, reestablish this city. And he had to remind them in the face of opposition. You see, what happens on a Sunday, we're gathering every week to find out, what is God saying? How does he want to encourage us? This is what we're here for. This is who we are. This is what we're about. This is where we're going. This is what it means to be clean. This is what it means to be healthy. This is why we're a covenant people. This is why that we are a people who provide. We're a people who defend. We're a people who love. We're a people who belong. We're a people who forgive. We're a people. This is why we are who we are. Not just because we're part of a club that we go every Sunday morning to get blessed, but we're here to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to keep united and to move forward together. We're here to keep clean, to stay clean, then to know how to live that out during the week. And so these guys, and as you read the story, it says that at different moments they had their tools in one hand working, but they had their sword or their spears in another. So in one sense, they were doing what God had called them to do as part of the big picture, but at the same time, they were staying spiritually vigilant and alive in prayer and keeping themselves clean so that when the enemy came, then they already had their swords out to defend, to defeat, to deal with. But at the same time, they were still working as part of who they were to see the city rebuilt and reestablished. And Nehemiah understood the importance of the vision and keeping that before the people, but also to encourage, to strengthen, to mobilize. Because he knew and he understood, if people begin to fall out of place, then the enemy's going to get in. These other guys coming against us, they're going to get in and they're going to disrupt. They're going to bring doubt. They're going to bring fear. They're going to bring unbelief and all of that. And then people begin to drop off. And so in Acts 2 verse 42, there's the verse in there that says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The three words at the beginning are essential key words to what flowed through for the rest of the verses in that little section in Acts chapter 2. The first three verses, they devoted themselves. Three really important words. You see, I can't have a relationship with God on your behalf. You can't have a relationship with God on my behalf. You see, I'm not actually responsible for your relationship with God. None of the leadership here are responsible for your relationship with God in the sense that I can't have that for you and you can't have that for me. So you are responsible for your spiritual health and well-being. As a leadership, what our responsibility is, as shepherds, if you like, or whatever, as leaders, is to make sure that we are feeding you, encouraging you, strengthening you, it, with the word and by the Spirit, helping to create an environment of faith so that you can be in an environment of growth, an environment where you can be encouraged and strengthened. So our responsibility is to create that environment, is to lead you in the way that God is showing us to go forward as a church. But within all of that, it's your responsibility to stay clean and healthy. See, last week, when the message that was brought, see, nobody can forgive somebody else for you. So part of our being devoted or devoting ourselves is making sure that we're clean in the area of forgiveness. in terms of not holding anything against somebody else, a grudge or offence, whatever, whether we feel right or wrong. And not, last week's word was weighty, you know, in terms of what the word says and how we need to line up with that. But this week, in terms of our lives living clean before God, let's just turn, if you guys can stay, is that all right for a bit? People can look at you, at least they'll stay a bit more awake if they're looking at you as well than just me. Just have a look at Colossians 3 for a minute. The 20 of you that stood up, you know all this off by heart, so, you know, you obviously don't need your Bibles this morning. You could quote all of this to me, couldn't you? The first 17 verses of Colossians. Maybe do a verse each, shall we? Starting from the right and see how we get on. Your life matters.
Right. Very good.
If Achan's sin mattered for Israel to move forward, then your life matters now in terms of us as a people moving forward. If Nehemiah understood the importance of the people being interlocked, interwoven, he understood that in terms of getting the victory, then we need to understand that. It's amazing. They rebuilt the walls in 52 days. Incredible. To rebuild the whole of the city walls that had been destroyed that quickly. But why? Because they were united around the purpose of God, and they all stood in their place working, you know, with their tools, but also spiritually they were alive and vibrant. And therefore the enemy, there wasn't room for the enemy to come in and have any victory in any way. Let's just have a look in Colossians 3 for a moment. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So these verses, they apply for us in our own personal lives, but also there's, I was looking up some of these words yesterday, and the words your and the words you here are very much in the context of plural, not just the singular. And so it's not just, this isn't just you as an individual. You know, this isn't just that you're set your hearts on, you know, as an individual. That's what it is talking about, that. But also it's saying together as a church, as a people, it's saying, look, corporately set your hearts on things above. Corporately set your minds on things above. And so, but within that, there's got to be the personal devotion, the personal responsibility. But the context in which Paul's talking about is, look, it's not just about you as an individual. You're not just an individual anymore. You need to understand that your individual response to God is connected to somebody else's individual response to God. But how God sees us is an interconnected body of people together. He is leading as one people, as one man, as it were. And so God wants the same response in all of us so that we advance together in the purposes of God. So let's have a look. What does it say here? It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Now, those particular things there are quite strong words: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Which is, greed is wanting something, you know, idolizing something or wanting something. Well, the basis of all those things we just read is greed, self-fulfillment. Lust is about greed. Sexual immorality is about greed. Impurity is based out of, comes out of greed. Now, you might think, well, hang on a minute, we're all fairly clean people here, you know. But how many of you know it doesn't, you don't have to give the enemy much room to get a hook in? And if it talks about, in the area of lust, is don't even give it a hint. And that's probably one of the most prevalent ways in which the enemy gets in these days, to access stuff on the internet or the amount of stuff on TV, even some of the adverts these days. I mean, I know we've said this for years, but they're getting even worse, some of the things that they're trying to portray. And it's this little hint here, little hooks there. All this is these unclean spirits, if you like, that are out there to try and get hooks in our hearts, hooks in our minds, first of all, just to get us thinking on these things, getting us kind of pondering through these things. And that's how sexual immorality, this is how impurity, lust and greed, those things start with just a little thought, they start with a little image. And if we don't deal with those, and if we don't submit our minds to the mind of Christ, then those things can begin to play on our minds and begin to get a hook in our minds. And then as it begins to get a hook in our minds, we begin to feed those things. If we feed those things, they become stronger. Something begins to follow in our emotions, in our feelings. And then we want to begin to respond to that and give ourselves to that in some way. And that's the way that lust and greed and those kind of things work. It just needs a little hook. It's very easy for any of us to think, that's not going to affect me, because I'm not like that. I'm not into that. I want to, and all of that. And the last thing we want to do is try and resist that, because the Bible says that if we feed on Him, if we give ourselves to Him, then those things don't get the opportunity to have a hook, because we're feeding on Him rather than feeding on, and then we're trying to resist that kind of stuff. And so this is what Paul is saying at the beginning here. He's saying, if you set your hearts on things above, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, then these things don't have the opportunity to affect your life or get a hook on your life. But he's also talking about a corporate context, because he knows that your decisions and my decisions will affect the life of who we are as a people. You see, you guys, you helped to disciple me. You might not realize that. You might not think that. You might think, well, how do we do that? Because I'm in leadership, then there's certain things, there's a lot of things that I don't even entertain or even want to go anywhere near. Now, I don't want to anyway, but also it's understanding, hang on a minute, I'm in leadership, there's hundreds of people here, all sorts of people elsewhere that are connected to and relationship with Kingdom Faith and all the expectation they have from here for different things. And that's helpful to know that actually today, how I live, even though it might be a day off, what I do today, how I think today, what I do with my time today, how I am today, how I think today, is just as important as if I'm preparing for a message or spending time with God. It's not that I've got to be more spiritual when I pray, or more spiritual when you're preaching, or more spiritual when you're leading or doing something, than actually just on a day off. Actually, it's those moments that you've already got to guard what's going on, because it's in those moments the enemy's like, oh, he's relaxed a bit. I'm going to just chuck a little hook in here, or a little thought in there, or a bit of a thing in there, or whatever. And there's got to be a vigilance. And so it's helpful for me that because of what I do, it's like you guys disciple me, because it's like, right, there's a responsibility that I have. Okay, one, in leadership, but two, also I'm part of this thing. So how I want to live as much as I can in the right way before God, so that what I bring into the life of the church is clean, what I bring into the life of the church is healthy, what I bring into the life of the church is pure, what I bring into the life of the church is going to encourage, it's going to strengthen, it's going to build. Others are going to go, now I want to be like that, I want to live like that. And so what we're living for more than just our daily lives and daily needs and whatever. We're living for something that's going to change a town, a region and a nation. So that is another reason for me why it's like, I want to live right. Because it's not just about leading a church in a town. It's also about who we are and what we represent as a people in terms of glorifying God, honoring God, and what He then wants to do through us in this town or region or nation. And so Paul is writing to these guys and saying, make sure you don't give any room for sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires or greed. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Now he lists a whole bunch of other things. Now, let's just read them for a minute. anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Now, some of these things, anger, rage, malice, lying, all that kind of stuff. Imagine what it would be like if Daniel here was, you know, had a bit of a, bless you, mate, had a bit of an anger issue, you know, and he dealt with people pretty angrily, and he had a short fuse, and he just went off the deep end quite a bit, and he was like that with some of the others that were around him. Now, what would that do?
What's that?
You see, if somebody, it's eggshells, isn't it? What's going to happen? Is he going to, what's his mood today? What's he going to be like today? Is he going to have a go today? Is he going to be nice today? Or is he going to be just in your face today? What's going to happen? And so when somebody's got an issue like that, it's a challenge to stay connected. Yep. It's a challenge not just to let go like these guys have. Because if somebody begins to act like that, people want to, it's a great example. Hold on, guys. It's because people want to, if somebody's like that, it's very easy to kind of like, I don't want to sort of develop a relationship, or I don't want to be connected. I don't know how to handle him. I don't know what to do with him. Now, if he's being like that, and then Dave here is slandering everybody. He's being negative. He's slandering, and he's just, you know, he's picking holes in everything, you know. And what are people going to do? If people are like that, nobody wants to be around people that are negative. People don't want to be around people that are slandering, because you think, well, if I'm going to spend time, he's probably going to be doing that about me to somebody else. Right. And if he's sitting here telling me about all the other five people that he's cheesed off with, then I'm probably the sixth one when he's with the other people that he's cheesed off with as well, you know. And I don't want to join in with that, because that's not who we are. Right. And so what we're understanding in these last couple of months, it's not just about what we do to be a covenant people, it's who we are.
That's right.
Yeah. So if somebody's being slanderous and negative, and they just got this kind of spirit about them that is like, man, they're so negative. Okay, he needs dealing with, he needs repentance. Doesn't need casting out of them, he needs repentance. That's the thing that's going to break the hold of it over their lives, right? But what do we want to do? You see, what do? We come along and we say, hey, Dave, look, there might be elements of truth in what you're saying. You know, because often there is when people are negative. If it's so obviously an absolute ridiculous statement, you're like, well, that's just stupid. But there's often elements of truth in what people are saying. And that's why people get drawn into it. Because actually, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right, actually, with some of what you're saying. And that's where people find it, oh, hang on a minute, I don't want to confront or challenge. But actually, it's like, Dave, I appreciate what you're saying, and there might be elements of truth in it, but that's not who we are. We are not negative. We don't slander.
That's right.
You know, we don't lie. We don't stab people in the back. That's not who we are. Come on. We need to change. That's not who we are. We're a people of encouragement. Yeah. We're a people who love. We're a people who give. We're a people who defend one another. That's who we are. Come on. So let's defend. So instead of going up to somebody and saying, you know, confronting them with your finger point, it's like, hey, hang on a minute, mate. That's not who we are. I'm sorry, mate, but I can't agree with you. So if that's going on here and he's being negative, and somebody else over there has got a bit of an anger issue, somebody over there has got a bit of a lust issue, and they're, you know, surfing the net and looking on some stuff. I won't pick on anybody for that one, okay? Won't go there. And, but if somebody, what? It's another chink. It's another, where spiritually people are separating themselves off. Now, what happens when you confess your sin? He's faithful and just and forgives and all unright. Okay, you get forgiven, all right? But the Bible also talks about walking in the light with one another. And I think that was touched on last week, walking in the light. And sin likes to hide in darkness, but it won't stay in darkness forever. It'll always get exposed somehow. Something like anger is going to come out. It's going to be visual. You know, being negative, critical, lying, judgmental, that's going to come out at some point. But maybe if somebody's got an issue with lust or immorality, that people want to keep that hidden. But it will affect the life of the body. It's a seed, and all seeds grow. And if you don't uproot the wrong seeds, they grow. They will begin to manifest fruit in some way. And so what's happening in your personal life, and same in my personal, where nobody sees, because there's a spiritual reality to who we are together in Christ, how you live clean, where nobody else can see, is just as important, if not more important, than what you do when we're all together. Achan couldn't hide his sin. Nobody knew it was there. Nobody knew. Anybody. It's only because at one point something wasn't happening in the way it should do, and it's like something's not right. We've just been defeated. What's going on there? And God said, the reason why is because there's something being hidden, something that nobody knows about, but I've seen it. But I don't want to just punish. What I want to do is I want to deal with that. And the reason why I've said to everybody as a nation, make sure you don't take the devoted things. Don't do that, because that will affect the way you go forward. So God tells us, he said, don't do this. Keep away from that. Focus on this. If you focus on the right stuff, there's going to be a momentum. There's going to be a power. There's going to be an authority. There's going to be a release. There's going to be things happening. And so this morning really is about our personal responsibility, our personal devotion. See, how you decide to live, the temperature spiritually that you decide to live. You see, you are where you want to be this morning, spiritually. That's not the most comfortable thing to say, is it? But you are where you want to be spiritually. Now, you might say to me, I'd really like to be more, you know, this and that and the other with God. Well, do it then. Where you are is where you want to be. That we don't live in a dream world that one day the Holy Spirit's going to turn up and you're going to feel like as hot as anything spiritually. Hallelujah, the Holy Spirit's just done it. And we all go oof, on the floor, you know. The spiritual temperature at work in your life is determined by what temperature you've set that at. The hotter the temperature, the faster things happen. And the hotter the temperature of these people here, the more fused and connected they're going to be. Right. You heat something up, it begins to melt, right? Yep. And it becomes fused. And then it becomes inseparable, because actually the thing's so fused together now because of the heat of what is going on that you can't actually just separate people out or separate things out because they've been melted and fused together. Yep. See, that's what happens when we live clean and we take responsibility and we understand the impact that our lives have on each other in terms of decisions we make and how we are with one another. See, last week, God was turning the temperature up. He's saying, we're going to move it from this to this, you know. So let's deal with some unforgiveness and offense and all that kind of stuff that people take in their lives. But it's not just a one moment thing, it's how we live. Let's just look at a couple of other scriptures. Are you guys all right standing there for a minute? You're doing a great job. I'll give you all a fiver later, all right? You can share it and go and have lunch. I'll give you the fiver and you can believe God to multiply it. That's a good one. One Corinthians chapter 12. This is one body, many parts. This section is called in the NIV. Paul is talking here and he says, basically, we're talking, you know, some parts of the body we present, some we don't. And what he's basically saying is, look, we're all important. We're all important. There are no unpresentable or present. We're all together in this. And then he says, halfway through verse 24, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So people that were just treated like dirt before, God has now saved them and brought them into a body where they're valued, where they belong, where they're, you know, important. And then he's saying, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Wow. Now that, what Paul is saying here, is the same as the Achan thing. If one part suffers, everybody suffers. Now, we don't like that in our 21st century culture. Because we all want to be individual. Everybody wants to be, you know. But actually, Paul's saying, no, if one part suffers, every party suffers. Now, you could, if somebody's having a tough time, that means we all identify that, get round and help to encourage and strengthen one another. But also, it's saying if wherever you're at or I'm at is either going to have a negative or a positive effect. Then it says, if one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Somebody was around my house a few weeks ago. Who was it? And they said, what is it about all this football stuff? Oh, it was Chad's wife, Sarah. That's right. She was around our house. And she said, why is everybody into football? What is it about football? That people don't just say, that's my team and my team won today. What they say is, we won. We won. And it's like, you weren't even there. You're watching it on the telly. She said, what is it? When people watch football, they get excited and they suddenly get passionate and they express all this enthusiasm and all that. She said, I sit there and I look at it and think, what are they doing? She said, what is it? It's like it's your club, like you own it and everything. But, you know, but they're taking everybody's money. But yet everybody says, it's my team, you know, it's us, we're it. We're going to win the league. We're going to win today. You know, we're going to defeat those people. She said, what is it? What's the buy-in? And I just said to her, I said, I don't know. I said, maybe it's just, for many people, it's a cause that is bigger than their own life and gives them something to champion that's bigger than their own life. I don't know. I said, imagine that in the life of the church. If everybody's like, this is who we are. We're going to win today. We're going to do well. We're going to champion everybody. We're going to encourage everybody. Come on, we're in this together. You know, we're going to get a victory. We're going to score a goal. So it's interesting, Van Persie for Arsenal, who's on fire, centre forward in the world at the moment. Anyway, and if you don't know, he plays for Arsenal, who we're not going to win the league this year, but we're going to come second or third, all right? I'll just let you know that. Not after Spurs, no, we're going to overtake you soon. But you see, no matter who scores the goal, the whole stadium jumps up and they shout, we are in the lead. We are winning. We are going to, or whatever it is. But there's only one person that scored, but we've all scored. And that's who we are as a church. That's what Paul's talking about here. If one has a victory, we all have a victory. Why? Because we're connected. We're inseparable. We're interconnected, interrelated. We're one body. We're one people. We're one man before God, you know. So if somebody's struggling, then we all struggle. Amen. What does that mean? It affects everybody. Let's just have one last scripture. Romans 13, verse 14. Oh, I've got to read another verse out of Nehemiah, actually. This is brilliant. All right, let's just read this one first. Romans 13, verse 14. It goes, it's basically talking about how you love one another. It's keeping away from sin, keeping yourself clean in the first part of it, and keeping away from orgies and drunkenness and sexual immorality and all those kind of things. But then he says, rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature. And he's talking about clothing yourself. You've got a different set of clothes now than you used to have. But just look at this in Nehemiah. I love this verse. Nehemiah 4, verse 23. Then we're going to pray. Where's Nehemiah? Here it is. Nehemiah 4, 23. Look at this. We'll come back to the clothe yourself in a minute. So these guys, they're getting opposition. They're building the walls and constant aggro as they're doing it. But look at this. This is Nehemiah. So we continued the work with half the men holding spears from the first light till dawn, till the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night so that they can serve us as guards by night and workmen by day. Listen to this. Neither I nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water. I love that little verse there. That all the guys that were with me, none of us took off our clothes. Paul, in a number of situations, we've just read Romans there, and also in Colossians, if we carried on, it talks about clothing ourselves, keeping ourselves clothed with Christ. And it talks about a number of things that we clothe ourselves with in terms of kindness, in terms of compassion, patience, those kind of things. So there's a responsibility to keep ourselves clothed. But also, what do you have to do with clothing? You have to make sure you keep it clean. So you put your stuff in the wash. You make sure it's clean. When something's clean, it smells fresh. When something is clean, it actually looks clean. You know, if you've worn something for a long time, it does look pretty dirty and drab. It picks up all kinds of stuff. And, you know, one of the things we want to do is we want to keep short accounts with God.
Yes.
And last week, that message was phenomenal, you know, about deal with forgiveness and those issues and then make sure you don't let anything like that grab hold of your heart and life again. Keep short accounts. And that's this living clean thing in terms of our prayer, in terms of our thinking, in terms of our faith, in terms of what we feed on, in terms of what we look at, in terms of the conversations we get involved in. It's like your life matters. You're significant in the life of the church here. So we want to clothe ourselves with Christ, with who he is, his nature. Now, he's done that in us, but then we have a responsibility to live in that, to be clothed in that together as one man, as one people. Let's stand up together. Let's thank all these guys for standing up here for ages. You did brilliantly, guys. Let's stand, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Firstly, let's just take a few moments. The Word of God hits up against our individualism. Brings us into a body, a family, that we're now related, interconnected to, being built together, fused together. Now that if you see it in a really awesome sense of what God has brought you into, that in that context there shouldn't be any isolation. Any loneliness within all of that. Because we've been brought out of all of that and brought into something. Family, a body, a people. So this morning, just before the Lord, firstly, just thank him for what he's brought you into. He's brought you into his family, this family here. He's brought you in to be part of a body. He's brought you into you're a building, you're a living stone. Just thank him, you're part of what God is building together, fusing together. That you're significant in him, in the life of the body here, the life of the church. There's others that God wants to add in and build in to become part of this building, family, body. They're not yet saved. But what God has been working amongst us is a whole other depth of relationship with God and with one another. So that as people in these next 12 months, as they get saved and added into the church here, then the dynamic of life that we live together, they will come into and begin to live at that depth of life with God and with us together, because that's what they get saved into. But as last week, there's a personal responsibility to forgive, let go, let off others for whatever they might have done or how we have dealt with them. In the same way, we want to live clean before God. We want to live healthy. You live healthy by devoting yourself to Him. You live clean by keeping short accounts with God. So this morning, there might be a number of different things that have been raised where you know there's a negative streak in your life where you think, well, I often pick up on the negatives before I look at the positives. Or I tend to pick on things in other people. Or if you're negative about stuff, you're going to pick on anything, whether it's people or something. The first things are more negative or this, that and the other. God wants to break that negative streak and deal with it this morning. So that actually you're not negative, first of all, but actually you're positive. If there's stuff, you know, you've been feeding on, whatever that might be. Obviously, there was a number of scriptures today that were to do with lust or immorality in terms of greed, those kind of areas, sexual activity, that have a negative impact on your own life and also then on others without maybe realizing it. Maybe this morning the challenge of being part of the body in a fresh way, saying, I don't know if I really want to be interdependent in the way that we've been looking at this morning. I don't know if, does my life really matter that much? Maybe there's a little prod from the Holy Spirit this morning saying, I want to turn up the heat in your life. I want you to live with me in a closer walk, in a more intimate way. I want you to surrender your life to me in a fresh way. I want you to give yourself to me in a fresh way, because how you live affects everybody else. I mean, I was going to use an example which I forgot, which has come to mind, and you might think, well, that's being a bit picky, but Sunday mornings, when we all turn up for the meeting, and when we start, and when we get going, and the attitude we come with, the heart we come with. Because if you turn up late, some of the thinking is, well, it doesn't really matter if I'm late because I don't really matter. And actually, you do matter. Because what you bring is important into the life of the church. And so we just rock up saying, well, it doesn't matter if I'm 5 or 10 minutes late, I'll just join in. That says that we don't honour God and we don't honour one another. And actually, we need to deal with that, because imagine if we all said, well, it doesn't really matter, let's turn up at 2:45 then. But it doesn't really matter, it's not going to affect the meeting if I'm late. If we all did that, there'd be nobody here at all. And yet then you think, man, nothing's happening. If we all turned up at 10:15 and we're all here ready to go, chomping at the bit, and we're actually saying, get the doors open, we want to get going, you know, in terms of worshipping God this morning, how different would it be? And so it's understanding your life matters. How you think determines then how you act and what you understand. And God wants to help us this morning. Our lives matter. They're significant in the life of the churches, in this church, and what we represent and carry. So if you've had any kind of net attitudes like that, even to do with life groups, you know, in terms of fusion and giving into people's lives and wanting to, you know, our lives to be melted together. Some of you think, well, I don't do life groups. That's just not me. But that's like saying, I'm not really part of the body, I'll just do my own thing. Actually, your life matters then. Because if you just think, well, I don't do that sort of stuff, then that has a negative impact on the body. Whereas if you say, I'm not here just for myself, but I'm here actually to bless others, to give to others, to build them up, to encourage them, strengthen them. So when we meet together, whatever we're doing on a weekend, a social thing, we're hanging out at somebody's house, or we're meeting for whatever we're doing, I want to go because I'm a builder. I want to go and invest. I want to go and encourage. I want to go and strengthen. Imagine what that would be like if everybody came with that attitude and that mindset. So I don't know. You might need to just deal with a few things this morning in relation to those things. Maybe if you know you have been feeding on things that are not right, you need to, God, I repent how I've been feeding myself on different things. You know there's hooks in your life that are trying to reel you in. Firstly, you just need to repent of that stuff, asking to forgive you. Just deal with that right now. There could be some anger issues, short fuses going on. There's all kinds of things that are relevant to the life and dynamic of the church here. How we live personally. Father, I thank you for your grace right now that enables us to get things right with you. Father, I ask you to forgive me where I've just thought my life doesn't matter. I'm not that significant in the body. There's others that are more spiritual than me. Others that are, they're more the praying type than I am. Or, you know, he's more into the worship than I am, or whatever it might be. Father, I ask you to forgive me that I've not seen myself as significant in the body. I've not understood how you see me as part of the body. Father, I want to be a builder. I want to be a builder in the life of the church. I want to add into the life of the church. I want to add with faith. I want to add in life. I want to add, like we've been looking at, as a covenant person. I want to be an adder, a giver in that sense, a multiplier of member of the body. Somebody that's healthy, vibrant, that is encouraging, that people want to be around, that, you know, people bounce off and they get encouraged and strengthened. That's the kind of person I want to be, Father. So I choose this morning, if there's any negativity and you know that's been some of a strain of thinking or whatever, negative streak, then just repent of that right now. How we speak is a choice. You just choose this morning, I'm from this moment, I'm stopping being negative, picking holes in people and in things. Father, I ask you to forgive me where I've been critical, where I've been judgmental. Some of that was last week, dealing with that, the judgmental side of things. Father, I thank you this morning that you just do some cleaning up work in our lives. Father, I thank you as we focus on you, continue to move forward in you. I thank you, Jesus. For the health and vibrancy in life that is on the increase in these days. The depth of what you're doing is needed. The deeper God goes, the higher the thing can go. The deeper it is, the more rooted in him, the stronger what he builds and grows becomes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank him this morning that he's bound you together with everybody else here. You might not know everybody personally, and you're never going to know everybody personally, especially as things move forward. But that still doesn't mean that, that still means we're all bound together. We're one, because that's how God sees us. Now, your life might immediately affect somebody else's around you, positively or negatively. But actually, wherever we are, it affects the whole thing. So, Father, I thank you for the encouragement this morning of how you see us and the significance that each one of us has in the life of the body, that our life matters, how we think, what our heart response is, how we act, how we fit, it matters. And, Father, I personally, I don't want to be anybody, you know, that steps back and causes others to feel vulnerable, or there's not a security or a strength in the body. Father, I don't have anything going on in my own personal life in any way that compromises, undermines that. Father, I choose to continue to live clean and live healthy, to continue to feed on you and your word, to encourage others, to build others, to strengthen others. Father, I choose to be like that, to be a builder in the life of the church here, to be somebody who adds into the life of the church. Father, somebody who honors others, highly esteems and has deep respect for. Father, I thank you. Choose to honor every man, every woman, every young person, every child. Father, I choose to honor every person in the church here, to speak well of them, to encourage them, strengthen them, build them up. Father, I thank you. I praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just pray this week as we meet in different ways, hang out with one another, life groups and other stuff that's going on, all the men's thing that's going on, the stronghold. Father, in every context, I thank you just for a vibrancy of your life going on. Father, I thank you that this week, no matter where we are, at work, at home, at play, doing whatever we're doing, that we'll be a blessing to other people. That we'll be quick to encourage, quick to build up, quick to strengthen. Father, I thank you for the hope that you've put in our lives, the hope that we live with. In a time in society where there's a lot of despair, a lot of questions, where's it all going? What's really happening? Is my life going to be secure? My job going to be secure? Father, I thank you that we can be like a breath of fresh air into this world. And Father, you're wanting us to be so strong as a people, because in these coming years, there's going to be so many people coming saying, I just need a place of safety. I need a place of hope. I need a place that is acceptance. I just need a place, because it's all falling apart out there. And you're creating a body of people, not just us, but many, but you're creating a body of people that weathers the storms, that is lost in the distance, that is full of hope, that ultimately probably is going to come to the point where we're having to provide for one another in even more significant ways because of the way things are happening out there. We're going to have to be a community of people, even more than we've ever been. Sharing, selling stuff times and bringing it to the church saying, look, here's a whole load of money because there's so much need I've heard of. Distribute that and help people, help pay this and do that and sort that out. Father, I thank you. Those days are coming. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Father, when you say set your minds on things above, I thank you that that's about not just on the word, but it's also understanding the times and what you're saying. But then we know what to do as well. And that we know what's coming, that we don't have to freak out and panic, but also we understand how we need to be then as the people of God in order to weather the storm and to have victory and to overcome. So I thank you that you're building a dependence on each other now, an interdependence. You're building us together so that this can't be shattered. This can't be broken. No matter what the circumstance of life and society, it's not going to tear us apart and pull us down. But actually, we're going to stand together and actually say to people, come on, come and be part of this. Come and find health. Come and find victory. Come and find healing. Come and find hope. Come and find a destiny. Come and find peace and come and find healing. Because that's who we are. That's what we have as a people. So, Father, I thank you that you're developing that dynamic and vibrancy of life amongst us. Come on, let's thank the Lord, shall we? Let's praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, what I want you to do is say, I am the church.
I am the church.
You are the church.
You are the church.
Let's be the church. Okay, now look at somebody else and say, I am the church.
You are the church.
We are the church. Let's be the church. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.